I'd like us to look for a few minutes tonight and how do we deal with trouble and tragedy in our lives. And it surely comes to all of us one time or another. We're going to be centering our attention on some scriptures beginning in the book of Job. So if you would turn there in your scripture with me tonight, the book of Job, the Old Testament. Some believe this is the oldest book. Was written about a man that lived before Abraham. Whether that's the case or not, I can't prove it, but Job chapter 1, and we see here the problems that Job faced. Verses 20 through 22 say, Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, if you remember the story in the earlier part of the book of Job, you read of all the things that had happened to him. The enemy came and took his oxen and his donkeys and killed all the servants. His children were killed, and a fire from heaven destroyed sheep and his servants. And then verse 17, Chaldeans took his camels and his servants. The most tragic, of course, destroying his oldest son's house and his 10 children dying. In the midst of all this, one day he lost what many would say was everything. And yet God knew something about him that the devil doubted, and Job was about to learn through experience. You know, it's one thing to believe in your heart and your mind, and another thing to experience the fruits of that through your life's experiences. And Job trusted the Lord all those years, and yet there came a time of a test. And the great mystery of it here is in verse 6 and following, it describes a scene in heaven before these things came to pass. It was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance increased the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So it was a contest from the eternal perspective in heaven that God saying, "Look at this man. What an example of a man of God. What a faithful man." And of course, Satan is always the slanderer. That's one of the meanings of his name. One who brings forth accusations and slanders. He said, "Well, the only reason Job fears you, because you've blessed him. If he wasn't so wealthy and provided for and protected, why, he'd curse you to his face." You know, that's what the world thinks about us. That's what the world and most people in this society think. Well, you Christians that have got everything well in your situation, you got a house and a job and a family and a health, and that's why you love God. But you see, it goes deeper than that. And the Lord knew Job maybe better than he knew himself, because he said, no, Job loves God. He fears God and he eschews. That means he hates evil. I always think about that word, eschew, like somebody spitting it out of your mouth. But anyway, the idea, he abhors evil because he loves God. And Job was tried through all of this. And what did he do? He still worshiped God. He still trusted God in the midst of his trial. Satan was wrong. God was right. I wonder when he looks down at us, would he say similar things about us? Now, there's another big problem in all this. You say, well, why would the Lord allow Satan to do such a terrible thing to Job in his life and make him suffer? I don't know the answer to that, except that it praised God and showed Job's faith. And by the way, if you read the end of the book, Job ended up with twice as much. God blessed him again. He got more of his material things, double. He got 10 more children. And God took care of him. And in the midst of it all, and then I think of the eternal consequences of loving God. Though he lost some things in this earthly existence for a while, even if he had not gotten twice as much back before he died, if he had not gotten 10 more children before he died, he would still have eternal rewards in heaven. You see, that's the thing we miss in our griping and complaining and doubting God, is we think, well, I'm not enjoying it now because it's hard and it's hurtful and it's not the way I thought it would be. But if you have the Lord and you're really holding on to him, you say, well, Lord, I trust you no matter what. I love the way he said it here. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, that's easy to read and hard to believe sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to say, I trust God in the midst of it. But that's what Job did. He did not charge God foolishly. He did not sin with his lips. You know, so often we lash out against the Lord. Now, Job, in this book, several times questioned what was going on. And so I remind us that it's not wrong to say, Lord, I don't understand. What's going on? That's fine. As long as you don't start blaming God, it's not fair. I've served you all these years, and now look what's going on. And that's the human example, isn't it? That's the flesh saying, it's not the way I think it should be. Lord, you're not being right with me. And then we got to take a step back and realize God is good to us all the time. And we had to thank him for it and keep a right attitude in all these things. You can see another day when they came, there's more tragedy coming in Job's life. Satan had said, well, if you touch his body, verse 7, he went forth in the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down amongst the ashes. He said, well, you took his stuff, you took others, but he's got his health. And now he's suffering. He's detestable even in his own sight, and all that you can imagine, all that's described there. Yet God still was trusting Job, and Job trusted God. And then his wife questioned in verse 9. It says, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Personal tragedy doesn't change God. Doesn't change his love for us. It doesn't change his plan for us. He knows what's going on when we don't. The darkest hours just before the dawn is a line to an old bluegrass gospel song. And I think that sometimes describes our experience when we're going through trouble and trials. It's hard, but Job kept the right attitude in it all. He kept his heart with the Lord, and he looked for God to take care of it and bring him on through. It's a hard thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. Chapter 13, he had a lot of his friends in the chapters in between. His three friends came and they tried to counsel him. And without reading all those chapters, the gist of what they talked about was, Job, you must have sinned because you always get what you deserve. You know, that's a philosophy that most people have. You get what you deserve. You earn your way. If you're having a good life, you did something to deserve it. If you're having bad times, you did everything to deserve it. You know, it's not always the case. Sometimes there's other things going on. I don't know how many of you remember reading in high school The Tale of Two Cities. I always liked that book. The first line was the one that stuck in my mind. Said it was the worst of times, it was the best of times. It goes on to describe two men, one in the French Revolution being persecuted in a cousin that looked like him in England coming over and eventually sacrifices himself for the sake of his cousin and gives his life that he might go free. And you think, why would he do that? Because he loved him. And it's a beautiful story. But in the midst of all these things, Job trusted God. And his friends, they questioned that and they tried to show that Job was wrong, and Job continued to trust the Lord. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. And so Job trusted the Lord and held on to his confidence and didn't let anything deter him, because he knew the Lord. And the Lord was with him and helped him all the way. It's hard. Then you can read the story of Daniel and his three friends in the evil company of a wicked king. And they're brought before the people and told, you bow down at the sound of music and worship the golden image which I've made. And they said, nope. And they caught him before, and the king was angry. He said, I'll throw you in the fiery furnace if you don't bow down. He said, we're not going to bow down. And I love their answer. I'm not going to read them all tonight. But in there, they said, we're not careful to give you an answer in this, O king. He said, the God we serve, he's able to deliver us. But if not, we don't care. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to worship your gods. We're only going to worship the true God. And he was angry. Threw him in the fiery furnace, and the hot, seven times hotter. You know the story. And he looked down in there and he saw four men walking with no hurt on them. And the fourth was like the Son of God. The Lord took care of them in the midst of it. But you know, what if they died? They'd have died in faith. If you go on in the New Testament, it's not on my slides tonight, but in Hebrews 11, it talks of those who suffered for their faith and died. Some of them, terrible deaths. Some were sawn asunder. Think about that. They tell me they would put them in a hollow log and take a saw and cut them in half slowly. They say, terrible, terrible, gruesome death. But they trusted God. And the Lord said in Hebrews 11, he said, that because they would receive a better reward. God's in control of it in the midst of trial and troubles. Isaiah 43, verse 2 is another example of this. Through trials and troubles and even tragedy, where we think, Lord, where are you? He's there. He cares. He cares for us all the time. We just get to focus our eyes on him and trust him in the midst of it. Verse 2 of chapter 43, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. And goes on to talk about how God's going to protect his people. And he protects us as well, doesn't he? All the way through the hard times. Will we trust him through the tragedy? Will we look to him through the heartache and the trials? And then 2 Corinthians 12:9, the New Testament. Here's a promise that I think we should write down in our hearts, perhaps memorize this verse. It would encourage our hearts in the midst of these hard times. Because here's a man that God used greatly. And the Lord had shown his power in many ways. It's talking about the Apostle Paul, and he had a problem. And I'm going to go back in verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You see, the Lord taught him a lesson. Though he's the great apostle, the one to whom the Lord gave so many revelations and understanding of Scripture, he wrote by his hand, penned most of the New Testament by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he said, lest I be exalted above measure. You know, sometimes we get to thinking too highly of ourselves. And we have to watch out for that. The Lord sent him a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed three times, Lord, take this away from me. I'll serve you better. This is a hindrance for me. But the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient. You see, I believe when a believer prays, God answers. But he just doesn't always say yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says not yet. And I believe that's the illustration. It's not on the slides tonight, but in Luke 18, where the Lord likened the matter of praying without ceasing and praying and praying and praying till you get an answer to that unjust judge, whom the widow came to him and asked him, "Avenge me of mine enemy." And he would not. He feared not God, nor he regarded men. And he said, "I'm tired of her coming. She's going to wear me out. I'm going to give her what she wants just because she asked so much." And he said, "Listen to what that unjust judge said. Shall not God answer his own who come to him night and day?" He said, "Verily I say, he will answer them speedily, though he bear long with them." And that seems a contradiction to us. How can it be speedy and long at the same time? But I'm convinced that that means he'll give it to us when he knows it's time for us to receive it, when we're ready. You see, sometimes we've got to walk a while and wait for the answer. Because the Lord knows if we get it too soon, we won't learn what he wants us to learn. And only God knows those things. So it all comes back to faith. So the apostle here in our text in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." See, he got hold of the truth the Lord had revealed to him in verse 9 of the first part. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Contrary to what the world's philosophy is saying, God needs the strong and the wise and the super suave and educated and all of that to do his work in the world. You know, we have this philosophy, it's kind of in that little song we sing from time to time. It said, "Well, I came to the Lord and I got saved, and boy, he got a good deal when he got me." And no, we got the good deal. We got saved. You see, it's not God looking for a few good men to help him out. It's the Lord looking for people that are being willing to be used. And he will strengthen us. He says, "My strength is made perfect in" what? "In weakness." The picture of Samson in the Old Testament is that of a man whom God strengthened greatly and did miraculous feats with strength. And yet we always picture him in our mind as some he-man, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Atlas of another generation, you know, that guy that used to do the bodybuilding things. But, you know, I don't think that's true. I think he's just a normal-looking guy until God got a hold of him. And all of a sudden, he had the strength to do what nobody could believe he could do because God empowered him. And I think that's the secret of this verse here. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Lord wants to use us, not because we're so much, because he's great. And then he gets the glory if we'll trust him. Are we willing to trust him? You know this scripture, Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." The slide just brings part of it, but I think it's important to note those words, "and we know." Because, you see, the fact that it's true is good, but when we put our trust in the fact, and we put that knowledge and apply it in our life, that's where it helps us. See, we have to grab it by faith. God is God. He's going to be God forever. He doesn't need us. We need him. And when we grab hold of what he's revealed to us and apply it to our life, that's where we receive the good of it. Will you trust the Lord? Genesis 50 recounts the example of Joseph, the son who was unjustly treated by his brothers. He was sold as a slave into Egypt. He was lied about by a master's wife, thrown into prison. He was forgotten by those who promised to remember him when it was they received the blessing of deliverance from the prison. The one did, the other died. And all that, in the midst of it all, you know, he was going through hard times, and yet God was working. And at the end of this thing here, his brothers come to him after the father had died. They'd all been reunited and all that, and the good things had come out. He'd been ruler of Egypt for a while. And the brothers are afraid, you see, because they had done wrong to him. They figured, well, now that dad's gone, he's going to get even with us. So they concocted this story. Verse 15 says, "When Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.'" You see, they thought he would act like they had. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy father. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You see, Joseph got the big picture. His brothers had sinned against him. Potiphar's wife had lied against him. One had forgotten him. But it was all in God's plan to bring him to the right place at the right time to be used of God in a miraculous way to preserve Egypt, to preserve a place for his own family to come out of the famine that would come. God knew more than man. And Joseph was content to realize, yes, you did wrong, you're going to have to deal with it, but I'm trusting God. I'm not going to take God's place and try and deal with you according to your evil deserts because God had a bigger plan. Are we willing to trust God in the hard times and the bad times and let the sun shine through? God knew what was happening. Job trusted the Lord in his time. He knew that God would bring him through. Job 19, we go back to where we began tonight in that story. Again, it's a matter of trusting God in the midst of the hard days and experiences that we don't understand all the details, but we get the big picture that God's in control. He says, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though he, after my skin, worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Mine eyes shall behold. And not another, though my reins be consumed within me. See, Job looked toward the end. Heaven is my home. God is the one that I'm looking forward. We can trust him in the middle. He didn't understand all the details. As I said earlier, he questioned many times. And there, Lord, I wish somebody would come explain to me. I was doing the best I could. I don't understand what's going on. But he trusted God. He did not understand everything until the end. God knew better than he. God knew that Job would be true no matter what, because he knew Job truly trusted him. And what a word of praise. Do you think the Lord would have as much faith in us as he had in Job? Do we trust the Lord like that? Why aren't we like him? It's only based upon believing him. We look at the tragedy rather than the power of God. Matthew 14, 22 through 31. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and saying, It's a spirit! And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, we sometimes make light of Peter here and his lack of faith, but you know, there was a bunch of other guys in the boat that didn't come out. He's the only one ever walked on water besides the Lord. He didn't walk long, but at least he did. But his failure was our failure. We start out looking to the Lord, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, this defies the law of physics. Nobody can do this. And we start looking around at the wind and the waves and instead of looking to the Lord, and we lose it. God can bring us through. You can't have a miracle unless you're put in an impossible situation and have trust in God, and he will take care of us. The Lord tells us to come boldly before his throne of grace and ask our requests. That's where we started tonight, wasn't it? Talking about prayer, the opportunity and honor we have before God to come to the throne of grace and let him do what he will do for us. We can thank him and praise him forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank thee for thy word. I pray